Let us pray. Thank you. Thank you. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity once again to come to your feet to listen from you. But we also have a lot to share with you, to pour at your feet. Lord, help us to calm down and help us to listen. But also help us to obey what you tell us and what you command us to do. Help me, Lord, as I share, that your word may be clear. Help me to maneuver the issue with the accent and intonations so that your word goes through. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can sit, please. Yeah, like I've been introduced, I'm Justus Miwanda from Uganda. Yeah, I always tell people our names have meanings. Miwanda has a meaning, and simply it means path or road or a way. And my grandfather told me that because in my culture, the grandfather names the child. We don't take our father's names. The grandfather picks any name. And I was given that name simply because I was born on the roadside. Yes. My mother was only 15 when I was born. And she could not make it to hospital. So somewhere on the road, I was born. And because she was in school, that did not go down well with her parents. So they gave her two choices. Either they would look after me and her, or they would send her back to school. And poor girl, she wanted to go back to school. So they told her, you have to give away that child. So at 3 months, this girl gets a piece of cloth and wraps me in. And she moves about 40 to 50 kilometers looking for the parents of my father. And I have always told people that fortunately, this girl found my grandparents. Because if she didn't, the next option would be either to throw me in a bush or in a pit latrine, like most girls do in Uganda. So she reaches my grandparents' home, knocks at the house, and introduces herself to my grandfather and says, this baby belongs to one of your sons. And my grandfather had 8 sons. Yes, 8 sons. So he welcomes her into the living room. My grandmother was not at home, so he tells her, sit here and let me go and get my wife, and we receive you. I was the first grandchild in that family. So he goes to the garden, gets his wife, comes back in the living room, only to find the baby and not the mother. And for a while, that was the end with my mother. It was hard. I feel jealousy when you talk about Mother's Day next Sunday. Because for me, it does not make a lot of meaning. Because I didn't have that relationship with a mother. I miss it. I really miss it. So when I grew up to 5 years, my father got married, but he married somebody else. So after the wedding, I went with my dad and my stepmother and grew up with my father and stepmother. When I was 7, my grandmother heard about a girl who had left a child somewhere. She followed the story and could find my mother. So the first time I met my mother, I was 7 years. Again, she was a stranger like anyone. The second time I met my mother, I was 14. This time, I took myself there. I asked my grandmother, I want to meet my mother. So she wrote the address and the name of the girl, and she put me on a bus, and I found her. The third time I met my mother, I was 17. The fourth time, I was 21. And the same time, the fifth time, they called me that your mother is dead. So that was the fifth time seeing my mother in a coffin. That was hard for me, very hard. And I remember crying to God and blaming God and said, why did you allow this? I also want to have a mother, to be proud of a mother. But that was not possible. And a few years later, somebody comes to my church and he says, I'm looking for someone who can lead an organization with orphans. At that time, there were 500 orphaned children with international needs. And he spoke in my church, and I interpreted for him because we speak through an interpreter. I interpreted and I sat down. I didn't know that it was me. So in the evening, this man calls me. Would you be interested to work with us? And I said, what do you do? He said, we have children, we have church planters, we have a clinic. We want a local person to look after this work. And I said, what any wise husband would say, let me ask my wife. And I asked Deborah, and she encouraged me. She said, no, let's check them out. So I went, and these men, there were three of them, they said, can you share with us about your testimony? And I told them what I have told you. And they said, if you agree, we think this is your work. And they took me down to the schools. And I looked at these children. And I got a very simple answer to the question I asked God when my mother died. And that answer was simple. It said, I want to prepare you to look after these children. And I willingly accepted the job. Of course, at that time, there were 500 children. Now today, there are 4,000 of them. Yes. And I have enjoyed a wonderful 21 years working with these children. They cry, I can cry with them because I have been where they are. I can be relevant to their needs because of what I went through. So that is how I joined International Needs. And that's the message I bring to you. I know people here have supported us to do this work over the years, like you will see. When I was coming, I came with 20 Kurds of children, some of whom don't have parents, some their parents have abandoned them. And this morning, where I was, they were all signed off. All 20. I was so happy that they were taken. But I tell you, I have more. Yes, I have more such children. And you have an opportunity to partner with me to look after these children. So at the table there is a form. You will fill it you can state, you state your name and details and state which gender of the child that you want, boy or a girl. And I assure you, before this month elapses, you'll have a child that you can support to get education, but more so Christian education. We add value to the education that we give to these children because we share the gospel with them on a daily basis. Because if they get any education, they would get lost. But we want to share the love of Jesus Christ in spite of the challenges that they go through. So you are welcome to support me as we look after these children. But we have some other work that we do in international needs, as this PowerPoint shows. We have been in Uganda for 30 years. It has been working. Yeah, this is a young girl. We put an extra emphasis on the education of girls because in Africa, girls or women are highly marginalized. If there were two children in a family, a boy and a girl, and they didn't have enough money to send them to school, they would rather pay for the boy, not the girl. So we add an extra emphasis on that. Because if we educate all girls, we also succeed in the fight against HIV/AIDS by empowering and making these girls independent through education. Yeah. So these are some of the numbers that we have of the children. You see the total is 4,000 children in, yeah, that we are looking after. So we have three schools, two primary schools, one vocational school, and one secondary school. So these children come to our school and we share with them. So at $50 a month, you can support a child to get education. And from $50, the child would get his or her tuition paid. He'll get a uniform. He'll get the books and pens. He will have two meals at school. Because some of these children at home, there's no food. And also, her medical bills covered by international needs. These are some of the schools. I have a class of 84 children, one class. Yes. There was a year I was here, I think it was about 2009 or 2010, when the teachers in New Zealand were going on strike, when the numbers of children were being raised from 25 to 30 something, and they want to strike. And I thought, I wish I could take them to Uganda, where we have 84 in a class. Yeah. Next, please. Again, these are girls in our school that we support to get education. Yeah, these are some of the works that we do. We do education, we do health, we do livelihood, we do water and sanitation. Uganda has the largest lake in Africa, which is 100% contaminated. Yes, so we still have to go in villages and drill wells with safe, clean water. Yes, then we do Christian nurture, disability inclusion, and youth skilling. This is water, again, at school. We used to provide clean water at school, but at home, they didn't have it. So we encourage people to support us. You support a village, we drill a well, and then they have clean water. Latrines in Africa is still something you have to teach people, that they need toilets. I think you are used the word toilets, not latrines. Yes. So in communities where we work and they are near the lake or wells, people defecate anywhere. And when it rains, you know what happens? All that goes back into the wells or into the lake. The next thing will be diseases. So through International Unity, we are going and teaching people the importance of toilets or latrines. So this is what they have, and this is what we are doing for them. Yes. Yeah, this is our health center. That ambulance came from here. Yes, from New Zealand. There are people who raised money, and we bought that ambulance. Because the next hospital from my clinic is 33 kilometers. So if you have mothers or people who are sick, who need high-class attention, then they need to go to hospital. So this ambulance helps us to do that. We are empowering families to have food, to have animals, so that they can have food enough for themselves and selling the surplus. Sometimes we give pigs or cows. I have seen so many cows here. I wish I could take some to Uganda. Yes. So trying to empower them to do something for themselves. Yeah, over the years, we have been blessed by visitors from different countries. We work with UK, US, Canada, New Zealand, Australia. And they send us teams to see what God does and how God uses that $1 or $2 a day to transform a life. In July next year, we will receive a team from New Zealand. I only wish I had tickets for each one of you here, but I don't. But I would like to welcome you to come to Uganda to see what God is doing and to participate with us in transforming lives and changing communities through introducing them to Jesus Christ through our work. So these are people who have been coming to us and they share with us. So you are welcome. There's a form up at the table there. You can write your name if you are interested, and our people will talk to you and guide you how you can come to Uganda. Any questions? Yes. If there are no questions, I will go to the word. Now, these days, immediately after Easter, we see Jesus appearing to different people and different groups of people, manifesting himself to them. But to all people that Jesus met, he heard a message. He heard a word. And if we can go back to the Old Testament, from day one, whichever people that God met or called, he had a message. Sometimes it was a command. Sometimes it was a message of warning. At times it was a challenge. So I want, in the few minutes that I'm left with, to talk to us about listening to God speaking to us. Because he does speak. But as he speaks, there are so many other voices around us. There are political voices. There are health issues. The body is making noise. Sometimes even our children are making noise. Yes, they have demands. They have expectations. But amidst all those voices, still God is speaking. Jesus is speaking. And now I took John chapter 20 as my case study, if I can say. when Jesus rose from the dead, the first person he met was Mary. And I highlighted here the words that he spoke to Mary to help us understand that Jesus speaks to us. When he meets you, when he calls you, when he manifests himself to you, he speaks. But do you listen? When we go to verse 15, it says, "Woman, why are you crying?" That was the first statement Jesus said to Mary. "Woman, why are you crying? Do you have any issues that make you cry?" Some people go to bed to sleep, but they cannot sleep, but they cry. Some are driving, but they are crying. I want you to hear Jesus asking you, "Why are you crying? What is that issue that's bringing anxiety in your life, in your marriage, at your workplace? Why are you crying?" You know your issues. I know mine. But I like Jesus coming to me. "Why are you crying?" Secondly, he says, "Who are you looking for?" I know that there must be a void in your life that is not filled. There is a gap in your life. There are questions in your life. And Jesus is asking you, "Who are you looking for? What direction are you looking for? What value in life are you looking for?" When Jesus comes to you, he either has a question or a statement. Why are you crying? Why are you not happy? Who are you looking for? What are you looking for? In verse 16, Jesus says, "Mary." He calls her by name. I like that. I like it so much when somebody addresses me by my name. I want to assure somebody seated here, Jesus knows you, and he knows your name. And he calls you, he addresses you by name because he knows you. He does not only know your name, he knows your circumstance. He knows your failures. He knows your weaknesses. He knows it. That's why he calls Mary. And when she heard the name, it opened her eyes because he mentioned her name. I like it, the fact that Jesus, actually in the Old Testament, God says, "You are engraved in the palms of my hand," because he knows you. He does. After that, in verse 17, he says, "Do not hold on to me, but go instead to my brothers." When Jesus meets you, sometimes he instructs you, "Go." One time I sat down and tried to look for the word "go" in the Bible. I tell you, wherever it is an instruction from God, and he's sending us, he's sending you. He's telling you in particular to do something, "Go to my brothers." I also like the fact that he called them his brothers because he knows them. Go. I know there may be people within your company that God is sending you to. You know how hard it is for us to witness to our family members. Maybe for you it is easy. It's not easy. But Jesus is sending you this evening, go to your brothers, the members of your family. Sometimes it could be your parents. They don't know about Jesus. He's saying, go to them. At your workplace, it's also very hard to witness at our workplace. We take it for granted. They know us. They know Jesus. They don't need it. Go. He told her, go to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Are you sure you have told anybody or somebody about Jesus? Are your friends in class, do they know about Jesus? Go and tell them. Go. I try to do this in my country. Here you cannot do it because your petrol stations are self-service. In my country, there must be somebody to pump. Whenever I go to any petrol station, I make sure I don't leave that petrol station without sharing a word with that pump attendant. With a simple question, do you know Jesus? And I'm glad I still can do that in Uganda. You also can do it. Go. When Jesus meets you, he sends you. Go. In verse 18, it says, Mary went to the disciples and told them, go and tell them that Jesus is alive, that Jesus saves. Go. Don't go into the details of theology and the Bible because you don't know it. Just tell them, yes, we don't know. Just go and tell them, Jesus is alive and Jesus saves. I can ably do that because he saved me. At the age of 14, on the 27th of July, 1980, Jesus came into my life, convicted me of my sins, and he saved me. He forgave my sins. And he showed me what to do. He sent me. He told me, you must forgive your mother. I had to forgive my mother. That was not easy. But when I met Jesus, he told me, go, forgive your mother. He may be sending you to someone to forgive. Or he may be sending you to repent. I don't know whether Kiwi men can repent their wives. In Africa, it can be very hard for an African man to repent before his wife. But Jesus may be telling you, go to your wife. You did not treat her well. You did not tell her the truth. You did not say the truth. The other way around is also correct. Jesus may be sending you to your husband. Go. Go. Now, in verse 19, 21 and 26, Jesus meets the disciples. Again, he has a word. He says, peace be with you. Jesus knew the circumstance and the situation of the disciples. They were scared, like the Bible says. They were hidden in the upper room, scared of the Jews. And when he came into the room, he saw that these people were peaceless. They had no peace. And he said, peace be with you. What is that issue that is stealing peace from you, that has robbed you of your peace? This evening, I would like you to listen to Jesus saying, peace be with you. If you are married with your wife, there could be an issue. But Jesus is proclaiming peace in that marriage. It could be family-wide. Peace be with you. And he said it three times. In verse 19, in verse 21, and in verse 26. Peace be with you. I like this Jesus who knows my situation and who speaks into my situation. He knows. Peace be with you. As I intend to finish, verse 22, again of chapter 20, John chapter 20. He goes back. He's speaking to the disciples. And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed to them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. On the Ascension Day, we will remember when Jesus told the disciples, remain here until I send you the Holy Spirit to give you power and to go out to witness. Because he knows. Me alone, I cannot do it. He knows that you cannot manage. You need a helper, and that is the Holy Spirit. So he says, receive the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit will give you power, will give you courage, will give you the grace, will give you the power, the zeal to go out and witness. Receive the Holy Spirit. He adds on verse 23, it says, if you forgive anyone's sins, they will be forgiven. With Jesus in you, you also can forgive. I want to end with verse 27. When Jesus returns, because Thomas was not in the crowd, in the room when he came in the beginning, he again knew Thomas, the doubting Thomas, so he came. He wanted Thomas to appreciate that really Jesus rose from the dead and he's alive. Christians, be firm. Our Jesus is alive. We are not believing in bones which are in a museum somewhere. No, he is alive. So he told Thomas, put your hands in my palm. You see? In his waist. You hear? You feel it? And he said, stop doubting and believe. Christians, stop doubting and believe. Our Jesus is alive. Our Jesus forgives. Our Jesus saves. He does. He saves. I always give a story when I got saved. That morning of Tuesday, I woke up and I saw books in my suitcase which I had stolen from school. And my father was the principal of the school. And I got these books with a conviction that I've been forgiven. I must return these books. I went to the staff room and told my teacher, last night I received Jesus, and he convicted me of stealing these books, and I returned them. I want you to forgive me. And he forgave me, and he asked me, can you say those words at the assembly? I thought it would end in the staff room, but he said, can you say it at the assembly? So he rang the bell on Tuesday morning, and he stood me up in front of the school and said, tell them what you told me in the staff room. Confidently, I said, last night I got saved. I was convicted with these books, and I have returned them because Jesus forgave me. So Jesus may be pointing at something in your suitcase, in your wardrobe, in your coffers. Jesus is saying, take it back. It's not yours. Stop doubting and believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet they believe. Listen to these four questions. Do you see Jesus? Do you hear what he says to you? Do you discern his voice? I said there are many other voices. And these days we have social media. It has all sorts of voices. Do you discern Jesus' voice from other voices? And lastly, do you obey what he tells you? He may be telling you, go to Uganda. Yes, I don't want to manipulate you, but he may be telling you so. He may be telling you, sponsor a child. He may be sending you to somewhere else. He may be telling you to repent or to forgive someone or to go for ministry to Indonesia. Yes. Do you listen and do you obey? I want to encourage somebody in this congregation who has heard the voice of the Lord, that open your heart for me. And I want to pray for this person. You can put up your hand. You can stand up. You can come here. I want to pray. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you speak to us. Whenever you come to us, you speak. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, to listen to you. Help us to discern other voices. Some of them are from our friends. They say, no, you cannot do it. It's not yet time. You just wait. Just hold on. But Lord, I want to pray against such voices. And I want to uplift your voice. I want to thank you for my brother who is coming here. Lord, receive him. Speak with him. Transform him. Change him. But even if there are others who are fearing, who are shy, Lord, speak with them. Let them hear your voice. Let them obey your voice. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.